Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, a fully independent, fourth-generation family office right here in the greater Phoenix area, to bring you information you may not find on those other radio shows. We are aware that the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here. Hi, J.R.
We do. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy weekend, as always. You know, we're at noon now, so hopefully more people are hearing us. We just renewed our contract, so those of you that can't stand us, I have bad news. We're hanging around a little bit longer. So, yeah, I mean, everything we do, when you hear another money show, we say that tongue-in-cheek. I mean, we are anything but another money show. We are financially based. We're financial advisors. I mean, that is our livelihood. But our show, I would say it's more current events and how they tie into finances. You know, stuff.
Go ahead. I was going to say, our financial planning, I mean, we spent 15 minutes last week saying, you know, set a base that doesn't involve financial planners. Spend a lot of time telling people not to give us money.
That is true. But, I mean, and don't forget, I mean, we still do traditional financial planning. You know, the reason we offer the opportunity for people to sit down with us is because we can look at your statements. We can help you. Should you do a Roth conversion, you know, a required minimum distribution at 72? How do you do it? Do you take it out of one IRA or all of your IRAs? We can help you figure all that out. You know, when you're 59 and a half and you need money because the economy is so crappy, you know, what's it going to cost you? We can help you with all this stuff. But we have a platform that most financial advisors don't have. And, you know, I do scour the financial shows over the weekends, a little bit during the week. We are completely different. I've had people that have tried to say that our show is political, and I've been very, very careful to keep it very apolitical. I don't give a crap what side of the political spectrum you're on. It doesn't seem to matter. If you don't understand that all we have left in the political structure is the haves versus the have-nots, I'm not sure what to tell you. Do you think Joseph Biden cares about you and your pain at the pump, what you pay for groceries? Do you think Donald Trump cared about you? Well, I have my own personal political views, and I want to be careful with that. I think that people that have millions or billions, they cannot feel what the middle class feels. And obviously, we have a listenership that has people on a true fixed income. We have people with great wealth, and we have everywhere in between. So we try to stick to the in-between crowd because that overlaps with the other two sides. So anybody that's worried whatsoever that gas is going back up, do you really think any politicians, even really from kind of a local level up, because these politicians, they start making money, they start getting influence, they start getting power, they start getting gas cards where they don't pay for their own gas. So we really,
you know, talking about oil real quick, didn't the barrels of oil just drop below 80 into the lowest in a long time, yet prices are still going up?
Yeah. Yesterday morning, I put a post on Facebook, you know, my favorite news source. I put a post on there showing the barrels of oil at $77 and some odd cents. And yet my local gas station, the closest one to me is a QT. Great store, by the way. Wonderful fast food and stuff. So anyway, QT. It went from $3.69 within a month ago. And now as of 2 days ago, yesterday, I don't know, whenever I saw it last, it was $4.69. So I'm watching barrels of oil be at this amazingly low cost. And I'm watching my gas prices go up and I am confused. You know, I had a couple of people, it sounded like Lewis Black there, didn't I?
Yeah, that was just what I was thinking. I love that guy.
I'm going to stick a pencil in my ear. So basically a couple of people comment on the post. Some made it political. Some made it, you know, saying that California oil refineries are pumping out less. I get that. But the price change in 3 weeks versus the future contracts and barrels of oil, you know, the whole thing doesn't make sense. I've always noticed that when, you know, anything is going on, the gas prices go up right away. You know, the gas stations, they used to go out with a stick, a long stick, and they would physically change numbers. And if there was even talk of something going wrong, they're out there with the stick early morning changing numbers. But then when things are okay, the numbers would go down really slowly. So I, one person put it's oil company greed, it's gas station greed. You know, gas stations, you know, most of them nowadays, Wawa, which, by the way, I don't want to get too far off track, but did you hear about Wawa last weekend with a little party?
Those kids storming the Wawa in, is it Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania, yeah. Over 100 of them stormed that store and made a little bit of a ruckus. By the way, I mean, welcome to your future. That's what, yeah, Philadelphia. Jim just said Philadelphia. So bottom line with these stores, they make their money on food. They make their money on other stuff than gas. So I don't think that's the gouging is the biggest problem. Could it be part of it? Sure. But anyway, long story short, with the politics, we try to avoid it. We want to make sure we're keeping our eye on the money. And I hate to say it, but everything is intertwined. Your borders, your healthcare, politics, everything is intertwined. So, all right, let's get into the last couple of weeks, we've actually done some financial planning material to start the show. And I love that because we really do need to help people. We need to make sure people know that we're not just doomsday bunker, doomsday prepper, you know, end of the world people. We do think the world's ending. Do you want the date? You want me to give you a date? I'm going to say October 9th. Let's go with the 9th because that's like a week and a half away. So, you know, hurry.
Oh, you moved it up. It was January 1st for so long.
Well, it's still January 1st. That's when the light switch gets flipped. I know you love when I say that. You know, come January 1st, everything's going to be okay. So, and by the way, I mean, I will save this for later, but I referenced there was an executive order number 14067 that President Biden signed on March 9th of 2022. And it had deadlines in it. You know, I read section 4, the one that refers to the digital currency, which is definitely appears definitely to be coming. But I started looking at it again last night. That's what I do when I can't sleep. You know, instead of sitting there on Facebook, seeing what everybody else is doing for lunch and where they're traveling, I read executive orders. So on this executive order, what I really noticed last night was there's deadlines. There was 180-day deadlines to have these different branches of government give reports on what will happen with the digital currency. Well, that would have been September 9th. But then there's a 210-day deadline, which will be coming up on October 9th, that piqued my interest a little bit. It basically said, within 210 days of the date of this order, provide to the president through APNSA and the APEP, I mean, I love all this stuff, a corresponding legislative proposal based on consideration of the report submitted by the Secretary of Treasury under Section 4B of this order. Have you ever noticed whenever there's an executive order, whenever there's a legislative piece, a bill, have you ever noticed that they talk page after page and get very little done? I mean, what it really should say is we need to have this wrapped up by October 9th. I'm moving the light switch up to October 9th. We're all going to die on that day.
So what did it, I mean, what is that October 9th deadline for?
That means basically we yay or nay digital currency. And I can already tell you, over a year ago, we said yay on digital currency. I honestly don't think it's going to be implemented for the next year, 2 years, but the government behind the scenes is getting it so ready. You know, I mean, the battle between inflation, a hard landing, a soft landing, recession, some people are finally saying the D word. I've heard the word depression. So basically, when all the chips are lined up properly, we are going to a digital currency. Well, yes, that is my opinion.
Think of what you just said too with oil. You know, they used to, gas prices, they used to go out with the stick and manually change it. But now they all have digital signs. So now it's a click of a button and you've changed your oil prices. It's essentially with the currency. You know, you go through the Fed, you do everything you need to do to manipulate the market. It's going to be a lot easier for them to make the changes they want at their will digitally.
Well, and they've already trained us. I mean, nobody's got cash. You know, we've got Apple Pay and we've got our credit cards. Just touch the machine and boom, money goes out. I mean, I went to the Cardinals game last Sunday. Yes, I'm still in pain over that. I haven't been to work since. I haven't taken a shower. So anyway, with the Cardinals game, if you go to get a beer, if you go to get popcorn, whatever you do, they don't accept cash. If you buy a 50-50 raffle ticket, whatever you're doing in that stadium, they are completely cashless. I'm sorry, but that's kind of weird. It started out because, you know, COVID, money's dirty, blah, 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 blah. And now it's like we have gotten rid of cash. You know, everybody's doing online bill pay, online banking. By the way, if you want a 16-ounce regular Budweiser with no tip, but just with tax, $11.02. If you want a Hoppy Knot, I was looking at all the prices and the totals, it is $14.33. And then something interesting, they put a tip button so you can tip on top of your $14.33 beer. And it used to be where it showed like 0, 10%, 15%, other. They moved the zero. So now you have to put other and then look for the zero to put a zero tip. So it's just, it's interesting, the psychology of the stadium. It's interesting, the psychology of cashlessness. You know, we're out of convenience. We've brought it on. So we've already gotten ourselves trained, you know, in March, April of 2020. All of a sudden we start learning there's a change shortage. We work in Sun City, Anthony. Every single house, everyone, I'm not talking 99.6%, every single house has change in it. All they would have to say is we need help, turn it in. Or we'll give you 5% bump up instead of going to one of those coin machines and we'll take 10%. We'll give you a 5% bump up if you turn in, you know, $500 worth of change. We would add change coming out of our noses. So it's all training us. Anyway, so we do want to kind of start taking, because you can probably tell I'm fired up. I've got three articles I want to reference. I've got some current events I want to talk about. But I do love the fact that we did some actual financial matters the last couple of weeks. I credit you with that. All I would do is rant and rave about what's wrong with the world.
Well, so, if they want to listen to the financial planning, they can check out our podcast and our past episode, because we got into it quite a bit. And it was basically just about setting a foundation. The episode is called Building a Foundation for Future Uncertainty. And you can find that wherever you listen and subscribe to podcasts. You can also find it on our website at anothermoneyshow.com. And we're going to head to break. But in the meantime, check out the website, anothermoneyshow.com, or you can reach out to us directly at team@anothermoneyshow.com.
Remember, all of JR and Anthony's listeners receive a free financial consultation just for listening to the show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com to learn more and schedule an appointment. Thanks for listening to Another Money Show and subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts.
Another weekend, another money show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. Thank you so much for being with us. So as you know, Another Money Show is kind of tongue-in-cheek. We are anything but Another Money Show, but we really are glad that you joined us. So when I talk about traditional financial planning, the reason I love what Anthony did the last couple weeks is we don't want you to think our entire life is consumed with all of the stuff that you hear me saying. I just know that we have a platform where we can sound alarms, we can get people covered. You know, I look back over the last 4 years that Anthony's been with me, and our clients over the last 4 years that thought we were on the right track, they didn't lose money this year. Let that sink in for a second. Our clients that we told to dollar cost average out of the markets, our clients that we said something is wrong, you know, we really think you need to be safer. By the way, we did a presentation in January of 20 telling people that there's this, you know, it might be nothing, but there's this little unknown virus making its way around the world. We told people they might want to know what they have. They might want to know what their risks and fees are. We'll be glad to be a second opinion for them. That was in January of 20. We all know what happened in March and April of 20. Our whole thing is proactive over reactive. And I feel like we've really done a good job. You know, it's painful to be wrong. I mean, when you're telling people to be safe, when the markets are setting all-time high after all-time high, it's painful. But when you have 2022, January through September now, so three quarters of the year, and people are losing 20, 30% of their money, all of a sudden the pain goes away and we feel like geniuses. Well, we don't feel like geniuses, but you know what I'm saying. We feel like we were on the right track.
Yeah, if you're, I mean, you can still lose money by dollar cost averaging out. You know, when JR's talking about not losing money, it's back to those fixed indexed annuities that we were talking about last week. I mean, if the market goes up, you get a piece. You know, they limit your upside, and that sounds terrible. Why would you want to limit your upside potential? I want to earn as much money as possible. But what they're doing to compensate for that is they're taking away the downside. When the market goes down, you don't lose for that year. They've got annual point to points, they've got monthly, they've got 2 year, but basically in that time frame, if the market goes up, you get a piece of the pie. If the market goes down, they eat your losses. So it's a wonderful tool because not only does it allow you to grow your money safely, but it can be turned on to for a lifetime income stream, which if you remember the foundation, we were talking about all the different steps for financial planning. You know, once you get into retirement, income should be your focus. Have excess income. Your amount of assets doesn't matter. Have more income than you need and your assets will grow.
And what you're talking about is a foundation, part of our financial planning for people. But there's more. I mean, think about what you've seen in the time in the office. We're talking to people about generational wealth transfer, using life insurance, using different vehicles. We're talking to people about Roth conversions. We're talking to people about paying down debt, buying hard assets, stuff that has nothing to do with us, but we're coaching them. You know, we're general on the show. We can't give any specific advice, but we were telling people, put some extra food and water away. What if you listened to us and you thought, well, that's not a bad idea. The world's weird. You know, things are unpredictable. And you lived in Florida right now. You know, I mean, my understanding, Hurricane Ian is supposed to hit somewhere around 11 o'clock or noon Arizona time. You know, I mean, that's scary stuff. If you have a generator, preferably solar and not gas, because you're looking at storing fuel and that sort of thing. If you have extra food and water, you are in better shape. Those people that had to be at Walmart the last, you know, 3-4 days, and they found very little toilet paper, no water, you know, that sucks. So we always want you prepared. We want you prepared, but never scared. So, you know, one part of what we're doing is safeguarding money. Your passion is income over assets, lifetime income. You know, I want to talk for a second about 401ks. One of the strategies that if it fit people for the last couple of years, we've been telling people, safeguard what you have. We were saying that 2 years ago when everybody else is out there saying, buy, buy, buy. We're saying safeguard. Protect what you have. That allows you to take even more risk on what you have putting in. So a big part of our strategy has been protect what you have, ramp up the risk on your future contributions. You know, if the market keeps going south, you're buying in on sale. You're actually dollar cost averaging into your 401k with opportunities. You know, where is wealth made? Yes, inheritance. Yes, win the lottery. Yes, buy a bunch of duplexes. For the average person, it's made when there's problems. If the market gets cut in half and you start buying in and you wait long enough, you're probably going to be fine. If my doomsday crap, you know, comes to fruition and we're all throwing rocks at each other, you know, you may have to wait a little bit longer, but this country is resilient. We're going to come back. You know, my last.
What do you mean by safeguarding what you have in a 401k? Expand on that.
You in 401ks, you have gotten people to bring in a statement, you know, a recent statement and a list of all their allocation options. You know, one of the things I've heard you say to people, each 401k must have a stable value fund or a money market fund. You know, it's got to have a place to be safe, or ultra short term bonds. So that's where you kind of hide out, where you can lose less, if any, of your money. And then every 2 weeks, every other Friday, when you're buying in, you have them putting in the 2050, you know, age-based fund, or you have them going into the small mid cap, all these funds. You know, that's just smart. And now this 2022, literally for 3 quarters of the year, it's been more than smart. You know, it's been genius. These people not only are not losing money, now they're buying it on sale. They're doing exactly what you said they would. And by the way, you know, I bring up all the time, if you have an old 401k, you've got it sitting there, or if you've got six of them, well, I don't know, it's only 2,000 or it's only 3,000. If you've got an old 401k, don't ignore it. Let us help you. You know, you've got four main options. You can leave it as it is. You know, a lot of companies just let it sit there. You're still incurring fees and charges. You can cash it out, which usually we don't recommend. A, especially if you're under 59 and a half and there's a 10% penalty. And B, you're going to need it. you know, if you don't think taxes are going up, if you don't think inflation is going to be problematic, I'm not sure what you're seeing or what you're reading or the lack thereof. So you can leave it as is. You can cash it out. You can move it to your new 401k. You can take all your old 401ks and do a transfer into your current 401k. And then we would probably say safeguard that money and buy in more aggressive on future contributions. Or you can move it to an IRA. And that's usually where we are a little bit, you know, we like you to earn your business. We'll help you. What kind of IRA is good for you? You know, is it through Anthony who does assets under management type work? You know, is it managed money? Is it more of the safe side? Is it the foundation money? Should we be looking, you know, what should we do for you?
Yeah. And when we talk about IRAs too, because IRA is just a tax code. It's not an investment. You can invest almost in whatever you want under an IRA tax code. So if you come to me and you say, well, I have an IRA, is that good or bad? You know, that doesn't tell me anything about your investment. So there's so many different ways to plan around investing those. And why JR says that we prefer the 401k rolling over into an IRA instead of into your new 401k is because you have more control. With your 401ks, you're limited in what you can invest in. With your IRA, you can do almost whatever. But the only benefit to having more money in a 401k versus an IRA is the ability to take loans out. But ideally, you don't want to be dipping into your retirement for loans. And there's other ways to approach that should you need money. There's other strategies. And that's other things that we can help with in this office.
And we would be honored to do so. But for now, why don't we get to break time? Make sure you give us a call. 623-523-0444 or email us team@anothermoneyshow.com. Thanks for being with us. And just so you know, I did the financial part. Now I'm going to start ranting and raving after the break. Thanks for being with us.
You're listening to Another Money Show. To learn more and contact JR and Anthony, visit anothermoneyshow.com. You're listening to Another Money Show.
You are listening to Another Money Show with Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford. Thanks for coming back. So we covered all the really boring stuff, all the financial, the planning aspect of this. And now we're going to get away from that because, you know, you guys can hear all of that on all those other financial shows. But you're coming here for what's up to date. What's going on in the world of finances? What should we be worried about? You know, and JR's got a ton on his mind like he always does. And this is actually going to be new to me because we did not, he didn't send me these links before. So I am going to learn with you about what I need to be worried about in this economy. So take it away, JR.
What you need to be worried about in this economy? Everything.
Everything. All right. Let's go to break. Let's call it a day. Let's go get lunch.
Yep. We can fill this up with commercials, right? Come on, Jim. Yeah. Turn it over to Home Depot. Home Depot, speaking of which, are you hearing that Home Depot is starting to have to lock up all kinds of stuff? They're having to hire a plain clothes security, Target, Home Depot. There's a huge problem, I guess, around the country. You know, more in certain states than others, more in certain cities than others. No, I'm not being political, but I mean, you know, you have to look around you. There's a lot of problem with thefts and little groups of people that are doing stuff. There's a Ross on 99th Avenue in Happy Valley, which is in the North Peoria Valley. It is a really, really home alone neighborhoody place. You wouldn't think stuff would go on. Well, I heard from a reliable source because he was there and taking pictures a couple weeks ago. There was a group of people. They had a vehicle or vehicles. So taking pictures of a group of people that went into Kohl's, Michael's, Ross, the stores there, and they were stealing a bunch of stuff and running out. Huge police presence, you know, yellow tape. I mean, it was a big ordeal. And what occurred to me was, you know, when a society starts changing, not for the better, one of the signs to look out for is people, especially people that don't have a lot of money and they have nothing to lose, they start doing stuff they normally wouldn't do. You know, you've had a big push in the country to defund the police. You know, I mean, maybe that's starting to come back to bite people. But I think as the inflation keeps going, there's people that are going to do whatever it takes to make sure that they can help themselves. And there's always going to be opportunists that are going to take advantage of a bad situation. So, you know, there was a carjacking at 95th Avenue in Northern at Park West. I mean, they're it's coming all around. And you think of certain places are safe, but I'm not sure. So what's it going to look like in a year or two? I don't know. Hopefully it turns around and gets better, but I'm not sure. So, you know, really what to be worried about? I can't focus on violence. I mean, that's a little extreme to talk about that. I can focus on what I read yesterday, today. I mean, Hurricane Ian, you know, what does Hurricane Ian have to do with money? Yes. I mean, we do care about the people. Fort Myers, I lived there for a while. I lived in Cape Coral for a while. You know, my mom lived in Sarasota, Punta Gorda. You know, I'm very familiar with the West Coast of Florida. You know, it affects our money. The food prices are going to go up. We forget that oranges, tomatoes, there's a lot of produce in Florida. You know, there's going to be out-of-state assistance once the rain clears. There's going to be people with trucks heading that way. It's going to be fuel for that. There's going to be money for cleanup. There's going to be federal dollars from FEMA. You know, it is going to affect us very much financially. You know, there's everything we ever talk about. You know, it all ties in with our finances. So back to what to worry about. You know, during the break, we talked with Jim for a second about really heavy stuff. You know, I'm a veteran. I was active duty 87 and 91. I remember that time when the world started changing, Desert Shield, Desert Storm. It really made the world different. And now during the break, Jim brought up the fact that there's ships near Alaska, military ships from China and Russia. Why don't we do this? Before I have a heart attack thinking about what could be coming to this country, you know, in that level, let's take a break and then let's keep going with what you should be worried about. Is that okay, Anthony? We did the financial stuff, so.
Sounds good. In the meantime, you can find us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Or no, you can email us at team@anothermoneyshow.com or find us on the web at anothermoneyshow.com.
What if they want to call us? Can they call us too?
623-523-0444.
Yeah. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to leave us a rating and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Boogie. Boogie down, baby. Boogie. Baby, let's boogie down. Are you concerned about market volatility, rising taxes from the Biden administration, and how it could affect your retirement? Then listen to Another Money Show with J.R. Rochford and Anthony Correo. Learn how you can reduce the taxes you pay before and during retirement. Another Money Show every Saturday at 4 p.m. on 960 The Patriot. Schedule your free, no-obligation consultation now by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one will actually keep you awake.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. Thanks, as always, for joining us. So before the break, I mean, you know, it got a little heavy for a second there because during the last break, we talked about what's going on with the world. You know, one of our 10 pillars is geopolitics. You know, I mean, what's currently in the news? There are military ships near the United States. They have missiles on these ships. If there's a misstep, are we ready? Is the military ready? Are we ready? Do people have nascent iodine? Do they have filters they can change out in their home? There's all these different things you can do to prepare. I don't think most of us are ready at all for what could happen. Do I want it to happen? Of course not. I mean, you know, I'm never trying to bring this stuff on. I'm just trying to let people know if all you do is go on TikTok and watch The Masked Singer, whatever it is, you're really not getting the full picture. I do try to watch mainstream news every day too. You're not getting the main picture. You're not hearing that there's warships by Alaska. I'm sorry. You're starting to find it. Just yesterday and today, I've read 3 articles about
Russian warships.
Russian and Chinese. Ooh. So they are working together, it looks like. The pipelines. If you're watching current events like I am, you may have heard of these Nord Stream Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 pipelines. They bring natural gas from Russia to Germany. We're all hearing Europe is going to have one heck of a winter. You know, natural gas prices are going through the roof. So the problem, these pipes are underwater and they're really, really thick. So it looks like they were sabotaged. Well, most of the world is kind of starting to wonder if the United States did it to create a little ruckus over there. You know, this stuff could lead to World War III. I mean, I'm sorry to say that, but these, if you look up these Nord Stream pipelines, it's going to frighten you. I mean, you know, Poland's blaming us. Some people are blaming Russia, Ukraine. It's just there's so many unknowns.
As if we already didn't have issues with energy.
Correct. Well, and look at this country. Look at the inflation here. Everything, it's a small world, not just because the internet, thanks Al Gore. It's a small world in general. And when you look at what's going on, our inflation, our taxes, I mean, I don't want to go off track. I want to get to the articles I have to reference, but look around you. Everything is intertwined and none of it is really positive. It's all bad. You know, the student loan forgiveness, we've talked to a handful of people that are going to be, you know, they're going to be benefiting, but the handful of people that are going to be benefiting, there's also tons of people that we're going to raise taxes. You know, that thing was supposed to be $300 billion cost over the next 10 years. Now it comes out, the budget office said, no, it's going to be $400 billion. We're throwing around the word billion like it's nothing. You do realize that $500 billion is a half a trillion. So all of a sudden you're looking at 30-40% of $1 trillion added to the $30 trillion in debt. It just keeps adding up. You add the $54 billion, whatever, to Ukraine. It's just financially, we are in a heck of a mess. So back to my end of the world. I want to get back to what you asked. What should we be worried about? We have been telling people for years, don't panic, but, you know, pay down your debt, buy hard assets, safeguard your monies, do your foundation. You know, we're hitting you with all these things. We started telling people for their specific situation, what should they do? How much food should they buy? Where should they get it? You know, you and I took a little tour of an LDS food warehouse last week. You know, we started looking at where we need specific recommendations for people. So we're fine tuning. How much water should you have? How much food? Should you buy a tower garden? Reach out to our friend Marcy. We don't get a kickback, but she can help you. Should you buy seeds? What is an heirloom seed? You know, should you really buy alcohol, tobacco, gold backs, gold, silver for barter? Should you buy life straws and purification tabs? How much cash should you keep at home? You know, an infographic was sent to me by Sam Davis, the one and only Sam Davis. I think I want to read this real quick. It's pretty impactful. And then I'll move on to the articles. If trucks stopped, what could make a truck stop? Diesel exhaust fluid, you know, I mean, if we have a gas disruption, I'm going to read this real quick. If trucks stop 24 hours, we're going to disrupt the delivery of medical supplies to the affected area. Hospitals will run out of basic supplies. Service stations will begin to run out of fuel. Manufacturers using just-in-time manufacturing will develop component shortages. U.S. mail and other package delivery will cease within one day. Food shortages will begin to develop. That's where we key in, because that's going to be a game changer. If you remember the toilet paper shortages, that's nice. We could have made do. If we have food shortages, we have a problem here. Automobile fuel availability and delivery will dwindle, leading to skyrocketing prices and long lines at the gas pumps. That's 24 hours. Day 2 to 3, food shortages will escalate, especially in the face of hoarding and consumer panic. Yep. Supplies of essentials such as bottled water, powdered milk, and at major retailers will disappear. ATMs, I like this one. ATMs will run out of cash and banks will be unable to process transactions. Well, we've already told people to keep cash, so that won't affect our people. Service stations will completely run out of fuel. Garbage will start piling up in urban and suburban areas. Container ships will sit idle in ports and rail transport will be disrupted, eventually coming to a standstill. By the way, are there still container ships outside the Long Beach? You know, we have such a short memory.
Oh, yeah, ton.
Yeah. First week, that's 2 to 3 days. First week, automobile travel will cease due to the lack of fuel. Hospitals will begin to exhaust oxygen supplies. Second week, clean water supply will begin to run dry. If we have an EMP, if we have something bad, solar flare, you know, World War III, do yourself a favor. Here's a little real life tip for you. Run into your bathrooms and fill your tub. Put the stopper in and fill your tub with water, because drinking contaminated water and hospitals closing down is going to be a bad combination. So fill your tubs with water. Or better yet, go online and look for something called a water bob, a water bladder. You actually have this plastic container you can put in your bathtub. I would get one for each bathtub that you can fill with water. And lastly, week 4, the nation's clean water supply will be be exhausted. So if these things ever came to fruition, it's not going to really matter what we do with our 401ks at that time. So why don't we do this? Let me talk a little bit about these. Let's at least get to the headlines of these three articles I got ready for today, and we'll see how much time we have left. First one, 30-year U.S. mortgage rises above 7% for the first time since 2000. Fastest surge in history. In history. This is from Zero Hedge, 9/27/22. So that was yesterday. We're recording on the 28th, which is a Wednesday. So let me just read the highlights of this. And then if you want to talk about it for a second, Anthony, cool. If not, we move on. Less than 2 weeks ago, we cited Freddie Mac, according to which the average 30-year U.S. mortgage just rose above 6% for the first time since 2008, with real estate brokerage Redfin commemorating the move by saying this is the sharpest turn in the housing market since the 2008 crash. And then just a few days later, we go over 7%. The national average 30-year mortgage just soared above 7%. This was yesterday, hitting 7.08 and the highest since December 11th of 2000.
So I would have, these interest rates wouldn't bother me at all if they had happened with normal home pricing, you know, before this bubble of home pricing. I mean, yeah, no, that's great. You can get a real expensive house and it's 2% financing, but you have to pay for the house. You don't have to pay for interest. So give me an affordable home and 7% interest and you can pay that principal down. But now, you know, prices still haven't really fallen for homes. So now you're playing obnoxious prices and these massive interest rates. And they're not even really massive interest rates. This is pretty normal interest rates.
Well, historically, we're about to get to the historical average. So no, they're not. Let me read just a couple more lines from this because I'm going to hit on what you just said. This was the fastest 1% increase in mortgage rate history. The fact that it took place in less than a month is even more remarkable. But according to the Atlanta Fed, I love when the Fed gets involved with telling us what's going on. Aren't they the ones that caused all this? Just thinking. As of a few weeks ago, the median American household would need to spend 44.5% of their income to afford the payments on a median priced home in the U.S. The highest percentage on record with data going back to 2006. Well, as of today, that number is just over 50%. That's right. More than half of the average U.S. household's income goes to paying housing payments, nearly double what this number was just 2 years ago. I mean, don't forget January of this year, you could get a 30-year fixed at about 2.75 to 3. One last line, that such a move can't end in anything but tears is obvious to everyone but the Fed, which still thinks that it can somehow avoid the most destructive of hard landings. You know, I had somebody, Anthony, at our last West Valley Men's Networking, somebody asked me if I think we're going to have a soft landing. You know, I mean, a soft landing, hard landing. I mean, who knows? I don't have a crystal ball, but I can tell you, it certainly seems to me like we have bigger problems coming and they're kind of all going to hit at once. And let me bring you back. You know, what we think is going to play out, the stock market is going to, we think, crash worse than it is already. We think the banks are eventually going to close their doors and do a bail-in. And then we think the whole thing ends with a digital currency. Is the world going to end? No. Are we all going to die? No. You know, that our opinion is we're going to have a lot more financial pain though in the meantime. So I'm going to get to one more article and see what your thoughts are on this, because I think you're going to have some thoughts on this one. This is another Zero Hedge article. This one was from September 20th, 2022. Cook County has launched its free money universal basic income program. So the Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle and the rest of her board announced the county's version of what is often called UBI, Universal Basic Income. Under the program, the county will send monthly payments of $500 to $3,250 to its residents who successfully apply. I'm going to skip some of this to be faster. UBI programs are sometimes called free money programs. Free money is a fair label because that's exactly to the point, to make a cash handout with no strings attached, no work, no disability, no training requirements, no regard for how much the recipient is getting from other assistance programs, and no real questions other than household income. Eligibility is open to anyone 18 or older, with a household income at or below 250% of the federal poverty level, or about $58,000 for a family of three. They're estimating that 36% of all Cook County residents will be eligible for this program. Let's see here.
Pretty terrible that a house of three under 58,000. Cook County, I mean, that's pretty much downtown Chicago area, right?
Not downtown, but yeah, I mean, it's Northwest, yes.
But that's very, very low.
I don't know.
I'm still kind of torn on the universal basic income. I think Yang, when he was running for president, made some good points. The problem is we don't have the money for it. It'd be one thing if we were a thriving country to be able to do these things. But I read that article too, and that was the funding is going to be federal funding for COVID relief, yet the president just said COVID's done. So shouldn't that shut out the money for this? Well, I can't imagine Illinois has money. I can't imagine Cook County.
No, they're broke. Everybody's moving out.
Yeah.
No, and you know, one more line hidden in this article. Citizenship and immigration status make no difference for eligibility. They exclude assets. You can be a millionaire, and if you didn't work for the last 2 years, you can be a millionaire and apply for this, and they are not turning you down? Come on, there's problems with this. And by the way, I like to
Andrew Yang. Where's that part, though? If you're a millionaire, you can get this. I thought it was if you're bringing in less than 58,000. No, but then again, if you got your own, you know, your own company, you can W-2 yourself less.
Let me read this from the article. It's entirely possible for a household to have little or even no income for one or several years, but be quite well off with money saved from the good years. Many professions, such as real estate development, have income that's cyclical, and serial entrepreneurs fully expect a life of feast and famine.
So that's that one's rough, but that's all we have for today. If you like what you heard, if you have any questions about the topics we talked about and want to sit down and review your personal situation, give us a call, 623-523-0444. Find us on the web at anothermoneyshow.com or reach out to us directly at team@anothermoneyshow.com.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.